Andrew. Welcome back to the show. How are you doing today, my friend?
Pretty good. Thanks a lot for having me, Mark.
Well, no, thanks for taking a few minutes here to chat football with us. Brett Smith looks like he's going to get the start Friday night for the Riders. Andrew, what do you know about Brett Smith?
Yeah, that's really the good question, isn't it? Smith does not have a lot of CFL experience, and I think this is going to be a very rough one for him. Coming in against Edmonton, against a great defense, and the thing that really stands out, too, is that Edmonton head coach Chris Jones likes to use so many unconventional formations, so many different blitz packages that you don't see a lot. When you've got an experienced quarterback like Kevin Glenn in there, that's a little easier to deal with. Kevin Glenn's seen just about all of that over his 15 years in the CFL. Brett Smith has not, and so I think it's going to be very difficult for him to figure out what Edmonton's defense is doing and what he can do to counter that.
The Riders are 0-5, and they're taking on, in my opinion, a very good team here on Friday night that's 3-1. If they drop to 0-6, I said in the first segment, this isn't the 2011 BC Lions. This team isn't going to rattle off 8 or 9 victories. Mm-hmm. I know it's weird to say, but is their season already over and we're not even through July yet?
Well, I agree with you that they're not the 2011 BC Lions, but I think that their season isn't over. I think this Saskatchewan team has had a really good offense. They lead the league in 17 of the 30 offensive categories tracked week by week. And some of that is about just how bad their defense has been and how many opportunities their offense has gotten as a result. But they've also been very good on a per-play basis, both in the passing game and in the rushing game. Now, if Kevin Glenn's out for a long period, that may all be moot. Maybe their season really is over. But if he's able to come back quickly, and if they can make that defense at least a little bit more competent, I can still see them as a team that could potentially sneak into the playoffs. It's going to be difficult, but there's a lot of potential on this team, particularly on the offensive side of the ball. And you have to keep in mind that nobody in the CFL has been really dominant so far. So the Roughriders have lost all their games, sure, but they've lost by very few points, and nobody else is running away with it.
Andrew Buchholz from Yahoo Sports joins us. I agree with you that no team has been dominant, but I think there's been certain aspects of teams that have been dominating. I'm speaking of the defense here in Edmonton. The Eskimo defense has only surrendered 58 points so far through 4 games. Has that defense that Chris Jones has put together, Andrew, is it better than advertised as that we thought heading into the season?
Well, I mean, we all knew it was going to be very good. The defense was really Edmonton's calling card last year. It was such a huge part of what motivated their huge turnaround. And so I think this isn't really all that surprising, but just the level that they've been playing at has been very impressive, especially in that domination of Winnipeg this past week. I think you do have to take that with a little bit of a grain of salt, though, because, I mean, the Blue Bombers' offense is struggling right now. So, Grant, that's a good performance, but how well would they have done if they'd been facing a better offense? Edmonton also caught Ottawa when they were struggling for a couple of games. And I think maybe the most interesting defensive performance so far was that one in the week one loss to Toronto, where they just got blown out of the water by Trevor Harris in that passing offense. So I'm curious to see how this Edmonton defense is going to stack up against those really good passing offense teams. We've only seen one game like that so far, and that was that opening loss.
On a flip side, looking at the offense, let's go back to Saturday night for just a few questions here, Andrew. If you were head coach of the Eskimos, how would you have handled the quarterback situation? Obviously, it was raining cats and dogs Saturday. We know Nichols was pulled, Franklin was put back, and Nichols going to get the start on Friday. But going back to Saturday, how would you have handled the quarterback situation?
You know, I think they handled it pretty well, honestly. I think that Matt Nichols is Chris Jones' preferred guy at this point in time. He's got much more experience. It's useful having him in a difficult weather situation like that, where he's a good fit for what they want to do, which is run the ball, make the passes that are there, and not make many mistakes. I think it was smart to get Franklin in, though, and to give him some looks and see just what he can do and how explosive he is and what the higher ceiling that he potentially brings to this team. I think it was smart to give him some work, especially once it became clear that the game was going to be out of hand. The downside of that is all of a sudden, of course, this leads to all the quarterback controversy stories this week. I don't think there really is one at this point in time. I think Edmonton is comfortable with Matt Nichols. They know what they can get from him, and he's the starter going forward for now. If I think they're going to keep working Franklin in, though, and using some different packages with him, maybe the way they did with Pat White last year, and the more he produces when he does get those chances to shine, that may lead to him getting more opportunities to start in the long term. For now, though, I don't think it's as much of a controversy as it's really been built up to be, just because Matt Nichols is such a fit for what the Eskimos want to do.
Andrew Buchholz joining Mark Mugeau here on The Gregor Show. Friday night, the Riders are in town taking on the Edmonton Eskimos. It's Pure Later Tackle Hunger Night. Support the Edmonton Food Bank. We'll have the Green and Gold kickoff show at 6 p.m. on Friday with Dustin Nielsen and Matthew Awanek. Well, week six kicks off on Thursday, Andrew, between a team the Eskimos beat this week, the Bombers and the BC Lions. Is Drew Willie made out of rubber? What allows him to continue to keep playing? It seems like he just keeps taking hits and keeps on ticking.
Yeah, Drew Willie has been hit very hard this season, and he's been very tough bouncing back from that. But that can't go on indefinitely, and Edmonton fans will be well aware of that. I've seen some of the punishment that Mike Riley has taken over the last few years. Eventually, it catches up with you. Eventually, there's a hit you can't take and stay in there. And I think Winnipeg has to be really concerned about what happens if Drew Willie does get knocked out, because Brian Brome has been very unimpressive in the backup reps he has got him so far. So Winnipeg is really putting a lot of eggs in Drew Willie's basket. It's not going to be easy against a BC team that has shown very good defense at times, has some great linebackers and a pretty good pass rush. And it's not going to be easy, especially considering that Nick Moore looks like he's going to be out and he might be Winnipeg's best receiver. So it's a tough situation for Drew Willie, and they're going to have to protect him better and hope that he can continue to survive these hits.
Andrew, taking a look out east now, the Argos sit in first place in the CFL East. They're 3-1, but a team I've seen twice because they played Edmonton is Ottawa. They're 3-2. They've already beat their win total from last season. What area have they improved the most, in your opinion, over the 1 year? Because it seems like really two completely different teams, 2014 to 2015.
It really does. I think that the biggest improvement has been in the receiving core, and that was a huge focus for them this offseason. Those additions have all paid off. Guys like Chris Williams had a huge game this past week. Brad Sinopoli, who's been big for them everywhere. And Maurice Price has looked good at times. I mean, this is a receiving core that's so much better than last year, and that's led to Henry Burris finally putting up some of the numbers we're used to seeing from him over the last few years. I think what you have to keep in mind with Ottawa, though, is for me, they've been maybe the most inconsistent team so far this year. They look very good in the three wins. They look very bad, especially offensively, in those two losses. Now, granted, those came against a tough Edmonton defense, and you're not going to play the Eskimos every game, but I'm still far from sold on the Red Blacks overall. I think they're much improved. I think they're a team that can potentially hang with anyone, but I want to see them do it a little more week in and week out before I'm even confident that they'll have a playoff berth.
Andrew, this is going to be my last one. There's five teams in the league that are under 500. That's 500. Mm-hmm. That's BC, Winnipeg, Saskatchewan, Montreal, or Hamilton. Out of those five teams, which is the best team in your opinion, and why?
Well, of those, I think that Hamilton is the best team. I think I really like the Ticats roster. I think they have a lot of great talent. And for me, they haven't had as many clear vulnerabilities as those other teams. For everyone else you mentioned there, I think it may be a little tougher to turn it around, given that they've shown some great highs, but they've also shown some great lows.
Andrew, I appreciate your time, man. Enjoy the rest of your week and enjoy week six.
Thank you very much. Have a good one, Mark.